What is kosher? Anyone know what kosher is? First I'll tell you what kosher is not. It's popularly misunderstood as the rabbi blessing the food. So I wish that was that easy. That'd be great. Let's say, you mean if I went to the pig and blessed it, it'd be kosher? That's not the way it works. It's nothing to do with me blessing the... It's true, I have to make many blessings during the day, but that has nothing to do with making something kosher. Before we eat, we get permission. We ask God permission because it's His food. So we make a blessing before we eat, and we make a blessing after we eat in gratitude. But and it's food. The food has to be kosher to make a blessing on it, but that has nothing to do with kosher per se. What is kosher then? Kosher is, in Leviticus, the third book of Moses, it gives us a list of the kosher animals. It gives you, you need two characteristics. Chew its cud and have split hooves. If, like a cow, a sheep, a goat. So that's the first step. There's a long way to go before you could eat it, but if you don't have those two things, game over. If you only have one of the two, it's not kosher. In order to begin kosher, you need those two kosher signs. And then there's a whole long process. You have to slaughter it properly. You got to, in a way that the animal doesn't suffer, you got to salt out the blood. That's why kosher, I assume meat in general is very salty, but kosher meat's even saltier because we do an extra salting process to get the blood out of the animal because it's not kosher. There's a whole long process. Today, we don't have to worry. It comes to Shalom Village, you're ready, kosher ready. Like, all you have to do is put the spices on and the sauce and you're ready. Put it in the oven, you're ready to go. But until it gets to that process, it's a long way. But kosher means it's a split hooves and chew its cud. Fish, also you need two kosher signs. Fins and scales. But it's much easier for fish. As long as you have fins and scales, if you're fishing out somewhere, you're by a lake, and you're assuming you know how to fish, and you catch, then you could just eat the food. You know, you prepare.
Not the rest of the seafood, just fish. Right. From the
sea. Not all fish, not all seafood. Right.
Yeah. Anything
that's fins and scales. So let's say tuna, salmon, and, you know, trout, and there are a bunch of other ones, cod. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you know, like lobster, all that stuff is out. So, but those are much easier. You don't have the long process. You could just, you know, prepare the fish and then eat it. As opposed to meat, has a much longer process to in order to make it kosher. And then birds is a little trickier in the sense that they don't give us signs. They just tell us a list of 24 non-kosher birds. The problem is the names have changed over thousands of years. So like, how do I know? The fact the Bible said called it by this name, maybe they changed the name over time. So therefore, the Talmud, the Jewish... The oral law gives us a little, some signs. Also, any animal that attacks its prey, and because you are what you eat. So the bottom line is chicken, turkey, other things are kosher, you know, some duck. But again, so we have the meat, the two kosher signs, and we have the fish, the two kosher signs. And fish is what we call parv. P-A-R-V-E, that's dairy and meat. And something which has no dairy, has no meat, is called parv. And that's what, let's say, all your fruits and vegetables. Anything natural is, by definition, you know, comes out of the ground, you know, unless they put some meat or milk in it. Basically, it's parv. That's why I could go to any store and buy an apple, buy an orange, any fruit, because, you know, it's a natural thing. It's kosher, but it's all, that's why in the dining rooms here we have milk section, meat sections. We have meat dishes, milk dishes, but we don't mix them. Even they both have to be kosher, but we still need separate dishes. Because in addition to eating kosher, it says you can't mix meat and milk together. So one of the reasons given is because meat represents death. You slaughter the animal. Milk represents life. You're milking the cow, so we want to have a separation of life and death issues, so we keep them separate. So that's why in the kitchens you'll find there's the There's the dairy section, the meat section. As a server in the nursing home, usually breakfast and lunch are dairy, and dinner is usually meat. So they have, you know, you'll have different dishes, different dishwashers, the works. So what's the, so the Torah just says, since you're a holy nation, you got to keep kosher, but doesn't really tell us the reason behind kosher. So the commentators explain, so what's one of the major reasons behind kosher, but really it's a major reason behind many commandments, is as follows, that there was a study done, not a Jewish study, in Stanford University. And the study was, again, you could change the food, whatever your favorite treat is. This test was done with marshmallows. So the, this is the game. They put people, I think it was with kids, but they put someone behind a two-sided mirror. They didn't know you were watching. And this was the game. Here, I'm putting a piece of chocolate in front of you, a marshmallow. If you don't eat it in the next 15 minutes, I'll give you a whole box of chocolates. I'll give you a whole box of marshmallows. So some people right away couldn't resist. They just downed it right away. Others like started licking it. You know, people did different things, and that was it. So they followed these people around for the next, I mean, that was part of the test. They weren't like harassing them and, you know, not looking at them. But that was part of the deal that they did, doing the research for the next 25 years, and they came to the obvious conclusion. I'm saying obvious, that the children who are able to hold off and not eat the chocolate, not eat the marshmallow, and able to wait, because they were the ones successful in life. Those who are going to give, if you're going to give in to any impulse, any desire, you won't be successful in life. Nothing to do with Judaism. You won't be successful because part of, if, whether it's saving for retirement, having rent money, if I get the check and I spend it all on clothes, I don't have any food to eat. So that life is full of, you have to give up instant gratification in for the further good. So kosher is just one measure of that, that you can't just walk into any store, eat whatever you want. In fact, it was, I was once standing in the, when I was, I'm from New York, so a big Jewish area. I was in a supermarket. It was, they had both kosher and non-kosher, but it's mostly Jewish people and a lot of kosher. So I was waiting in line. This woman was, you know, what they do is they put the gum and they put the chocolate, the paper is right by the checkout. So they want the kids to pull at it, or they want you to read it. Like Shoppers Drug Mart, what's the first thing when you walk into a store, what's the first section? So apparently it's the
makeup right now, most makeup, of them. Yeah.
Correct. And why is it, why do you think it's makeup?
I'm going to say because it's mostly women that go in. And they know we like it.
Yeah, well, that's probably why. Sure. Yeah, but the reason why, yeah, the reason is because it's the highest markup.
Yeah.
They make the most money on makeup, the cosmetics, that's why it's there. So too here, don't worry, the stores spend billions of dollars, you know, deciding how to set up a store, the supermarkets, how do you get people to buy stuff they don't really want, you know, that's what they spend millions on. So this woman was waiting online, and the kid was getting, you know, it was a little kid, he started like pulling at everything, so she's screaming at him, she said, "Tyrone, it's not kosher." But she didn't appear to me to be Jewish. I just said, "Oh, by the way, oh, are you Jewish?" She said, "No." I said, "So why did you care? Why did you care about?" She said, "No, I see all the Jewish mothers screaming at their kids, and it works. I figured I'd try it also." But that's the way it works, because if you're brought up, you're used to knowing, like, you know, you have kosher, non-kosher. It's part of a whole idea of self-control. Besides the spiritual reasons behind, and those are the different sections. And one last thing also, you'll notice on the door, you can't see it from here, but when you move out and you look left, it's called the mezuzah. It's something on the doorpost you could see when you walk out, and it's on many of the doors in this building. On Jewish homes, it's M-E-Z-Z-U-Z-A-H. Basically, it has Torah scrolls, not a whole Torah, it's different, a little scrolls inside, and it's for protection. You know, God's watching over you. Like the original one was when God passed over us in Egypt. But that was with blood on the doorpost. This is actual, like, writing. So the question is, when you, depending on the door, you can't always do it, but you put it on a slant. You don't make it vertical. You don't make it horizontal. Why is it on a slant? So the reason is because the first thing you do when you walk into a Jewish home, but it's any home, whether it's parents and children, whether it's good old roommates, whether it's you know, brothers and sisters, whatever it might be, spouses, whatever it may be, is the first thing you have to realize is it can't be my way or the highway. You can't be too rigid. You have to, if you want to live in a peaceful home, you have to learn to compromise. And that's why the first thing when you walk in, you see the mezuzahs on a slant saying, it's not vertical, it's not, you know, can't get everything. When you live on your own, you do whatever you want. You leave the dishes the way you want them, you make your bed, you don't make your bed, or whatever the issues are. But if you're living with, you have roommates living with other people, and you have to, you know, both have to care about the other one, it's a two-way street. And that's why it's one of the famous rabbis who was, he was 90, whatever, in the 80s. He was elderly, and he had students used to walk him home. So when he got to the door, he fixed his jacket and tie, and they said to him, are you expecting guests? Why are you fixing your tie? He said, yeah, of course I'm expecting guests, because our tradition is, if there's peace in the home, if there's tranquility, then God comes down and dwells with you. But if there's fighting in the home, then God runs away, so to speak. So that's the concept. You walk in, whether it's at work, whether it's home, you see a mezuzah, and you're supposed to try to internalize it to realize, you know, in life you have to compromise. Hopefully two steps back, but three steps forward. And that's the concept of mezuzah. So we covered the Jewish calendar, the holidays, kosher, mezuzah. Any questions on anything we covered or didn't cover?